Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. And we it's a little bit noisy here because we're in a restaurant, but we are live on air, and today is, I think, day 163. I'm just now getting the chat room open. It looks like we're on a go today, so thank you for that. And we want to welcome everybody. Our phone number to call in is 646-200-4169. That's 646-200-4169. And if you have a question or you want to talk, you press 1. That puts you in queue. And we do already have a caller, but hold just a moment and let me turn this over to Michael, and then we'll turn you on. And I believe it's Nene, but hold on just a moment.
Well, hey there, Nene. How are you, young lady?
Hello, my heart family.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Awesome. What kind of exciting things do you have to share with us today? How goes your process? It was good to see you on Saturday.
Yes, it was awesome, really, and very supportive. So I would like to share a couple of good experiences, interesting. One of them is one of my friends that I've been working with the tools, that she was a lot of pain because she hadn't seen her son in 10 years. I mean, her son, you know, left home with a girl, and they got married, etc., and years passed, and he just disappeared. She never heard from him again, and she was in a lot of pain. So we did a worksheet, and then I gave her the commitment, and I told her to read the commitment to his picture, because that's all she had, a picture of him when he was, you know, 10 years ago.
So she hasn't heard or seen him in 10 years?
In 10 years, yes. Apparently, he ran away with this girlfriend, and he made a lot of money, and they had all this luxurious life and everything. And but then he went bankrupt. And then she never heard from her son again. I mean, never heard anything. And so she did this. She started reading the commitment to a picture of her son. She did it for about a week. And one day, somebody knocked at the door, and it was her son.
So how soon was that after she started to read the commitment to his picture?
1 week.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, you know, I shared yesterday the woman in South Florida, and she hadn't seen her daughter in 8 years, and she did some forgiveness work around it, and 3 days later she had a call from her from the other side of the country. So it's pretty awesome what happens on an energetic level when we wake up, isn't it?
Amazing. And
that's
awesome. My friend, she was in so much pain and everything that she has started to lose her hair. And all that. So now,
right. Well,
back
those goals.
Yep. there? Hello?
I'm here. So what I suspect would happen, that the amount of stress, you know, the losing of hair is a stress issue, and the amount of stress at wanting connection with her son would certainly be enough to do that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see her hair grow back either.
I'm sure it will. Definitely will, yes.
Well, that's awesome. Nice work. Well, boy, it doesn't get much better than that, does it? Being able to give somebody that kind of a look.
Yeah, it was, I mean, awesome. Really, it's awesome. And, well, also, I wanted to share that I, after Sunday, you know, that I got cut in my carbon-based memory, and that got into my mind last night and this morning. I said, why was it so big for me, that, you know, that little rejection was even childish, but why did it trigger this heavy content inside of me? So I created a mind shifter.
Uh-huh.
So this morning, I wrote in my mind shifter that love prevails even when Gary rejects or says not to me.
Say it again. Love prevails even when?
When Gary is my ex.
Right.
My Gary rejects me or says no to me.
Right. Good one. How did you make out doing that mind shifter?
I said, oh, I'm going to write this mind shifter. Played it for an hour, and then it took me to about my early teenager, 14, 15 years old, that one of my brothers was married to this very nice lady. You know, they had been married for perhaps 7 or 8 years, very nice. And then all of a sudden he starts flirting with this other woman. And, you know, I remember the trauma and my mother and then my sister-in-law coming. And I remember everything that, you know, they spoke, like, you know, very silently, but they could hear everything. And I remember that pain, and I remember all that. And also, I remember that my father accepted this lady that was having an affair with my brother. And at that time, we had a farm. And I remember my father invited my brother with his lover at that time. And, you know, and then he came back saying that, you know, this new lady, she was a very managerial, skill-oriented, and she could make a lot of money. And when that memory came, I remember those feelings of disappointment, and to me and my family, because we all were, you know, we wanted my brother to continue married to this girl. I remember that. And so for my father accepting her, this other lady, out, you know, outside in the shoulder, in the back of my mother and everything, and, you know, giving her all the approval, because she was like an executive managerial person. So that came in me with a lot of concept of terror, not terror, disapproval, anger, and lack of loyalty. That's how I came into me. So that was very, very...
And I might suggest another mind shifter that you might want to work with. And for those who are listening to the show who don't know what a mind shifter is one of the tools that we use. And, you know, if the mind shifter that Nene just shared appeals to you or fits with some of your issues, or this one that I'm about to give her, you might want to write it down. And the way that you use a mind shifter is that you take a piece of paper, you draw a line down the middle of the page, and on the left-hand side of the page, you write the mind shifter. because of the way the mind works, anything that's hidden in the mind is. And Nene just shared, she started to work with that mind shifter about how love survives. And as she did that, up comes this memory, which had been totally dissociated from childhood, of, you know, basically her sister-in-law being dissed by her brother and her father approving of it. A lot of stuff in there. So the idea of a mind shifter is to resonate those things that we've dissociated from that become creative processes in our lives. And so when you utilize the mind shifter, it allows those things to surface so that you can see exactly what your work is. And anything that surfaces in the presence of love literally begins to dissolve. Anything that doesn't belong in the structure begins to dissolve when it is allowed to surface. So the idea of the mind shifter is to get it to surface and to come forward. And so, Nene, another good mind shifter to work with might be, I deserve total respect, support, and integrity from all of the men in my life.
Yeah.
Because obviously women weren't very respected in your culture. And that's one of the insanities on planet Earth that just has to go.
Yes, I agree.
So,
Michael,
you know, that
was very interesting when I was writing, and my exactly what I felt in that moment that Gary told me, oh, no, you know, get away because you're going to make me in trouble with my friends because they don't like you. And when my father accepted this other lady, I felt exactly the same. Okay, how come, you know, my brother has been married for years, 8 years, we're all in the family together, and then this stranger that has been having an affair for 4 months, she gets all the approval and acceptance. So it was exactly, you know, the memory was exactly the same. The same situation.
Right.
The same.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, just to point out again for our listeners, I know you're aware of it because you've done the teacher training, you've been teaching the work, but just the awareness that when we hide things from ourselves and we say, I don't want to deal with this, when I dissociate from something, what happens is that I put energy into that and it becomes one of the most powerful creative forces in my life. And it tends to bring about circumstances and situations. You know, in regard to the situation that you spoke about when we first started the show with your friend who hadn't seen her son in 10 years, and as she starts to change the energy with her son's behavior changes. It's not very surprising. It's exactly how it's designed to work. And so as we recognize those things, whole different levels of possibility show up. And so that's awesome work, young lady, on both counts, both with your friend and with your own process.
Yeah, and also with my reference to my friend, you know, because now her son comes back defeated, you know, in life, the wife divorced him, and he comes back and asks her mom, you know, please forgive me all these years, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, she just opened her arms and opened and shelter him and cooking everything he likes and all that. It reminds me in the Bible, the prodigal son.
Right,
that,
yes, the prodigal son.
Remember? Yeah, like, no, there's nothing to forgive because this has been always your home. So I thought this little chapter is very powerful.
And of course, there would be many people, and maybe there's some people in the listening audience that would say, well, but what he deserves is her rage and, you know, her blame and her getting even for all the years he deprived her. And, you know, anybody who has realities of vengeance, that would tend to be how they would think. But when you realize on an energetic level that whatever we serve up to others has to go through our field first. We say, you know, somebody did something so terrible that they deserve our rage. Well, that's, you know, people do terrible things and maybe they do deserve our rage or vengeance or what have you. But that's a false question. The real question isn't, do they deserve it? The question is, do I deserve it? Because if I do it, I get the original, they just get the carbon copy. And all pain is self-inflicted in that way. And once we recognize that and we heal those parts of ourselves, then we open a space for a different energy to flow through us, of course. And when a different energy flows through us, people respond to us differently than when we play out of the games of hatred and anger and fear and grief and pain and sadness and rage. So that's awesome. And I acknowledge you for, I know when we talked yesterday, or was that this morning, that issue was really a deep one for you with your former friend, your former partner. And for you to be willing to face that is just so awesome, and not many people want to do that. Actually, without resolving the issues you have, most people would go back around to that relationship, go back to that relationship, go back and have more battering and more bruising and more beatings going on, or would turn around out of those dynamics, refuse to look at them in themselves, and wonder why 10 years later when they're settled in a marriage, those dynamics come back again and play out in a new relationship. So I acknowledge your courage and your strength for being able to step in and deal with those parts of yourself that are in need of healing. That's absolutely awesome.
I thank you. Thank you very much. And then I said a little bit of it. Oh, wow, my God. I don't know. You know, it was in a public place, and I know that my temper got me, my verbal-based memory. And I said, you know what? Well, but this is the dynamic of life. I was a little bit of a, it was triggered a little bit inside of me, the shame, you know, of the public, that perhaps somebody saw me upset, whatever. And I said, well, this is the dynamic. I just work on worship, and that's it.
Say that again. I couldn't quite understand you.
Yeah, that when this issue happened with my friend on Sunday at the party, at the birthday party, then I thought, well, because when your anger and all your content is triggered, he takes over you. He takes over you and you know, you change your body language, you say things that then you regret. So I said to myself, well, I don't know how I looked when I reacted and some of shame was triggered. Like, okay, I was in a public place. And I said, well, I'll do my worksheet, but I also remember, you know, this is the dynamic of life as well. It's not that I have to be perfect and until I'm learning.
Well, your courage is awesome to face that stuff. And, you know, when you look at the depth of it, and oftentimes, you know, and that was kind of part of the topic of our show yesterday, was people kind of in the space of, well, you know, why I started doing this work last week, why am I not finished already? And when you look at what you uncovered today, and there may be more genetic layers of that, because your brother and your father, and you shared with me previously that your father went out and played around on your mom, and probably his father and his before him and his before him and his sons and his sons and his sons. And the women have been dissed for how many generations in that culture. And so as you become aware of the level to which these energetic patterns go, and if anybody questions that these things are passed on genetically, go to the website, go to www.whyagain.com, and on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says, let's see, what's the media? To find the video, Jeannie, of,
media.
Yeah, under media, and you'll see a link to a thing that says, that's titled The Ghost in Your Genes. It's an awesome video. And oh, pardon me, it's under links, The Ghost in Your Genes. And so when we recognize that there are these genetic patterns that need to be cleaned up and cleared out, it's a deep, deep process and deep work to do. And so I think you're awesome, young lady, that you, when I think about the fact that you tapped into this work for the first time last January,
yep.
And you've taught 3 workshops already, you're working with people, you're changing lives, you're changing, it's just, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's absolutely awesome.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And as I said, well, you said, you know, it's not that you feel good at times, but once you overcome like a layer, then you get this new energy, this flow of like a fresh water, and then things move into a higher level. You start manifesting higher things and better things and all that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, what else exciting? When is your next class going to be?
I'm on my way. Great, by the way, I'm on my way there because I should be teaching next week. It's going to be either the 17th or the following week, the 22nd of November. So I'm on my way there to the Grace Cafe.
Cool.
The lady, I have an appointment now.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. So for anybody who's in South Florida that wants to study with Nene and do some work in Spanish or English, she's been doing workshops in both languages, which is another awesome piece of the puzzle. I wish I could do it in Spanish. And we thank you for that workshop we did down on Chrome Avenue several months ago where you taught in Spanish as I taught in English. It was absolutely fabulous. But anyway, you can go to our website, www.whyagain.com, and look under schedules. And you'll find flyers for Nene's workshops. As soon as we have those, they'll be posted. And also, if you're in the Chicago area, a young lady named Dayu, who's been on the show several times, she did teacher training this summer. She's going to be teaching this weekend in Naperville, Illinois. So she's got three different workshops that she's doing in Naperville. So you might want to check in with whyagain.com and check out what both Nene and, well, I guess we don't have a current flyer on the site for you right now, right, Nene? We don't have anything?
No, now until I have them, you know, I'm going to have a final date today in the next hour.
I'm driving to so probably by the end of the day or within a day or so, we'll have that on our website. And that's just fabulous. Very cool. Nice work, young lady. Nice work.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
All right, love you. Blessings. Bye-bye. Oh, we get to play with such awesome people in doing this work. And Nene is one of them. Dayu, who's over in, she's actually in Miami and doing work there. Dayu's the young lady who started the Project Momentum, where she volunteered to do free work with people for five sessions, and then the fact that they would commit to building up to doing five worksheets a day. And so that's one of the projects that that is happening from Miami. And then she's going to be in Naperville this weekend. I believe Thursday night. Jeannie's just explaining. Yeah, Thursday night. She's doing a workshop Thursday night and then all day Friday, all day Saturday at a place called the Ruha Center. Some friends of ours, Joe and Jim, are sponsoring her. And so if you're in the Chicago area, you can jump on our website and pick up the flyer and come to Naperville. Come and play with Dayu. And Dayu, just check and see. Jeannie, is Dayu on the phone? No. Is Dr. Tim on the phone? Is David on the phone? We're all by ourselves? Oh, my goodness. Bless you. She's about to sneeze. Anyway, and so the other question I would have would be, you've got a hand up. Awesome. What area code? Area code 509. You're on the air. Where are you calling from? And share your name with us.
Morning, Michael. This is Sandra Kettle.
Well,
City,
Sandra,
Washington.
It's a delight to hear your voice. You got my messages the other day.
I did.
Cool.
We were at the Diamond Fellowship yesterday, most of the day, and I wanted to call in this morning to say that we, December the 6th, and I'll send Jeannie a flyer or something for the website. December the 6th, we're going to have a preview introduction to our Mind Shifters Wellness group that's forming.
Right.
And then I'm contacting the physicians in the area that have been recommended to me by other physicians. And then we'll start January the 10th. So we're going to have...
Cool.
Yes, very cool. It's forming very easily, as it always does, when the time is right. And the spirit is your guide. So.
Well, we're being blessed by visits today from lots of teachers. And so for those who don't know Sandra Kettle, Sandra and her husband William teach and have a support group out in Washington State. And so there's a flyer for your regular support group on our website. Right. And we'll make sure this one for the physicians gets put on the website ASAP.
I did want to talk to you a little bit about the Chapter 15, the transitions. We had a discussion last week in our group about making the transition of letting go of our attachments to our identity, which can include guilt and fear, not only my job and my role in the world, but letting go and recognizing the identity that we have with guilt and fear and disintegrative energy or things that have brought us a lot of pain. Could you talk about that transition process and whatever you're so inspired to say, I guess.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit more about what it is that you're thinking about, that you're looking for.
When we're faced with that... We have indeed embraced that life is hard. It's my fault. My mind and my thinking. I feel guilty. I feel afraid more than I feel happy and joyous. And yet I feel an experience on those occasions when I do a worksheet. I do the process and whoa, it's so cool. And then turn around and the next day or the next hour.
Or the next second.
The next second, exactly.
Yep.
Comes out of my mouth, comes out of people's behavior, and the disappointment that, oh, dang, and here I am again. That was what we were talking about and
so the,
writing
the
that.
Doing this, the why am I doing this to myself again syndrome.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, when you recognize that this storage system called the mind is a habit machine, and as a habit machine, it just runs and runs and runs whatever's in it. Now, if you look at the, for those who are listening who might want to look deeper into this, you might want to read the chapter, and you can go to our website and download the book free. It's www.whyagain.com. There's a chapter on healing crisis. In the healing crisis, we talk about the fact that on an energetic level, whatever goes into the system has to be removed from the system. And when you remove it from the system, it's not Dr. Feelgood. You're going to get to experience it symptomatically. And so when you look at the process of forgiveness, you can only reach in to the depth that you have the vitality to handle. So if you're at a level 5 vitality and you have a level 7 issue, well, you'll be able to handle the level 5 of that issue with your forgiveness work, but you're not going to get to the 7 until you get to a level 7 vitality. So we tend to come back around to those issues repeatedly because we can only clear out what we have the vitality and the strength to clear out. It's like imagine that you're cleaning out a well and, you know, it's a 12-year-old boy that's doing it and he's only got the ability to pull up 12 buckets in a day. He can't pull out 22 if there are 22 that have to be pulled out in a day. He can only do 12. Well, in the same way, it's going to take time to process through those old habits. There's actually one part in the Lord's Prayer in the Aramaic that can be properly translated as, free us from our habit mind. get us out of this habit mind. Now, when you stop and think about how many years of unconsciousness, and, you know, Tim gave the example yesterday of many naturopaths who, when people say, okay, so I've been eating, you know, garbage food all my life, decaying animals and junk and fried and, you know, all the garbage I could find, the sugar, the chemicals I've never paid any attention to. So I've been doing that all my life, and now I'm 50 years of age. If I do this new diet for a week, will it all be fixed? And no, what's usually estimated is that you're going to invest a month for every year that you've been on the junk food diet in order to really clean your structure up. And, you know, if you look in the AA program, they will suggest that if you are leaving a relationship and starting into the AA program, that you stay out of relationship for 1 month for every year you've been drinking, because it takes that long to restructure the whole game. So if you stop and think, you know, let's use the example of what Nene, were you on the show when Nene shared with us a few minutes ago?
Yes.
So if you look at, you know, Nene and the way that she's dealt with herself or felt about herself as a woman after watching her mother be dissed by her father and her brother be dissing his wife and her father approving of it, and, you know, generations and generations and generations, it's going to take a while to undo the huge quantity of emotional content and data that holds that to be true. You know, it's like when you install a program, if you've ever installed a major program, like let's say you install Microsoft Office on your computer. Now, fortunately, most computers have kind of an auto uninstall. And so you hit auto uninstall and it uninstalls it. And then it will give you a warning that says, there are many files that we may not have deleted. You'll have to go through and do those manually. So forgiveness is kind of like auto uninstall to a degree. But the part of our identity that's still stuck in the belief that I'm less than worth nothing and holds that kind of guilt and fault and blame and shame and have been doing it to myself all my life, I can go in and forgive, but it's kind of like that uninstall. I'm going to do it to a degree. I'm going to get a new experience of who I am. I'm going to be free of a layer or a level of that. But if it's been going on all my life and genetically for the last 1,000 generations, I'm not going to be through it in 1, 2, or 10 worksheets. And, you know, when they said to Yeshua, you know, how many of these darn worksheets do we have to do anyway? Is 7 enough? His reply in Aramaic was no, 77 times 70. In other words, any given habit of mind, emotion that we're going to choose to face will do an infinite amount of work around that issue until we're complete with it. So 7 times 77 times 70, they asked, is 7 enough? And he added a 0 to that. You add a 0 to a number scripturally, that's infinity, and 7 is the number of completion. So I'm going to look at the issues I hold in my life an infinite number of times. And if I look at that issue through the eyes and the presence of my true being of love, I'm going to be dissolving the dynamics of that. But when somebody goes into a self-hate, self-guilt, self-fear, self-loathing, self-condemnation program, if you could imagine, it's like installing a computer program, and it installs, you know, it goes into the operating system, it goes into the, you know, all kinds of different areas in the computer. That install goes into 1,000 different areas. And it's the same with those realities that we hold, especially the multi-generational ones.
Can you
kind of get to your question?
Yes. I'd like now you to take another approach to that.
Yes.
And go to the medical perspective.
Right.
So like in chapter 16 where it talks about being a victim.
Yes.
And victim to drug and medicine. Victim
mm-hmm.
to medical being my salvation rather than how do you translate that into that genre?
Well, what I would suggest is that you walk gingerly.
Yes.
Because you're going to have a lot of people who still hold that belief, and I would suggest that you see what you're doing as a supplement in that medical office rather than a replacement, because if you get too strong in presenting it as a replacement, you're going to be displaced rather quickly in most situations. It's going to take somebody pretty committed to moving into the use of these tools.
Yes.
So I would suggest that unless you want to play Joan the Baptist, that a lot of the realities that you might hold from your personal experience and what you've observed around the use of drugs, that you might just want to walk gingerly with that, or you'll lose your head.
Yes, and understanding that, that will be and is my approach, the transition from that dependency is no different, is it not, than any kind of disintegrative energy or illusion that we hold.
Yeah, and you know, the addiction, basically when people don't want to deal with their lives, they will find some way to shut down the vitality of their structures so that they don't have to deal with the issues that they don't want to deal with.
Yes.
And so the person who's stuck in that addiction, whether the addiction is to an illegal drug or a legal drug or caffeine or nicotine or sugar or junk food or rage or self-condemnation or grief, anything that's used compulsively to keep from feeling something that's deeper. You know, if you look at, there's kind of a, at least in my awareness, a relatively new thing on the scene the last couple of decades with young people, and that is cutting themselves. That there's a large number of young people who will use knives and razor blades and such to cut themselves, which seems like, well, how bizarre is that? But what my take on what you've got with someone who's cutting themselves is that you've got somebody who feels like their lives are uncontrollable. They have no control. There is so much pain and trauma that they have no control over whatsoever. And so they become addicted to inflicting a pain on themselves that they can control. And with that pain of cutting themselves, they use that as an anesthetic, as a drug, to keep from feeling or to cover over the pain that they can't control. And so the same as with any other addiction, it's going to take the willingness to forgive the underlying pain. You know, my take in the years I've been doing this work, last 40 years, is the reason why people become addicted is because they hold in themselves painful realities that they're not willing to face, resolve, and deal with. Again, to use the example of Monet's call earlier, that, you know, here's this little kid who just loves her sister-in-law, and all of a sudden she sees her father and her brother moving in the direction of throwing her out of his life in a rather dishonorable way by bringing another woman into the home. I mean, how traumatic is that for a 6, 7, 8-year-old girl who's brought up in church, who believes in, you know, the good of humanity and all that stuff, and is still connected with her human life? How deep is the pain of that? And so the unwillingness to face something like that is carried out by utilizing some form of addictive substance to keep that in the dissociated mind. You know, Nene shared, and she had shared more with me when we talked earlier about that issue, but when this fellow that she had been dating and had started to diss her, she went into some pretty deep upset. And that upset is the drug that's used not to feel the deeper pain of what this is a reflection of, and that is a 7 or 8-year-old girl who watches her sister-in-law being basically thrown out of the family. And so one addiction, for instance, hostility, well, I want to turn around and take this person's head off. Why do I want to take this person's head off? Does being hostile make me smarter, stronger, better? No, it actually is very easily proven that it makes you weaker and less intelligent. And so the rage, though, when this person disses me and resonates that pain of me being seven and watching my sister being thrown out, or my sister-in-law being thrown out and torn apart, you know, that's a pretty deep pain from an impressionable child. That's like major, major issue, major stuff. And so how do I keep that out of sight? Oh, the person who disses me, I just turn around and rage at them. You see, I'm just fine. They deserve the rage. And what I'm doing is I'm adding more pain and trauma to the pain and trauma that's there originally by initiating or originating rage towards someone else, because that energy, in order to reach someone else, passes through me. So if you think about, for instance, if you look, take the overview of your life around any given issue you want to work through, let's imagine that rage was the drug that you used. If you think back over your life, how many times over this kind of an issue X, have I raged? Oh, God, only 8,222. Well, how many worksheets do you suppose it's going to take to remove the rage that went into my structure over 8,222 times of doing rage around this issue? That's all part of what I'm going to have to process out of my system. And I'm going to have to deal with the original energy that created the offense in the first place. And oftentimes, you know, I suspect that with Nene and what she shared with me, you know, when she shared on earlier shows, we're not telling secrets out of school, she shared how, you know, her father ran around on her mother, and that it's like a tradition in the culture. So how deep, how genetic is that, and how many layers of that is going to have to be peeled out? And people say, well, Michael, that just sounds like so much work. I don't know if I want to do that. And it's like, well, you know, everybody's got a choice to make. But once you recognize that your whole life comes out of that, it's kind of like, well, what else is there to do but to do your work around it? So it's going to take you 2, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. You know, in 40 years, you're going to be X number of years of age, whether you do your work or not. In one case, you'll be alleviated of huge burdens. In another case, you'll just keep adding to the burdens. What else is there to do? But until somebody's got the brain cells to recognize it's possible, yes, that's tough. You know, an analogy that you've heard me use before, but it might be useful in that setting where you've got the support group, is the analogy of the two plates on the floor, where I have a pound of hamburger in one plate and I have an ounce of gold in the other. You know, if I bring a dog in the room, and I don't care what kind of a dog it is, virtually every dog on the planet, if I brought 10 million dogs in the room, every one of them would chow down on the burger. Not one of them would touch the ounce of gold. Although, if they had the brain cells to understand it, they could take the ounce of gold and go buy 1,500 pounds of hamburger. But the dog, not having any brain cells, has no ability to understand that. You remember Yeshua said, cast not your pearls before swine. He wasn't dissing people. He was just saying, if you've got somebody who doesn't have the brain cells, be careful what you invite them to do, because they, in their rage that you uncover in offering that to them, can tend to turn the rage on you. And you've just got to be careful of that.
Yes.
That's what I like to call the plain John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist was a bringer of truth. That was his basic function. And you remember the king and the queen, they didn't want to hear what he had to say, and he brought the news to them that they didn't want to hear. Well, when you bring truth, the news to somebody who doesn't want to hear it, their stress goes up. And most people have their stress hooked to getting rid of the source of the information that shows them their internal stress, instead of learning how to use the tools to alleviate themselves of that internal stress. And so what did the king and queen do when he delivered truth that they didn't want to hear? They found a way to have him murdered. They had his head cut off. And so, you know, there are two skills that John had not developed, and you want to walk gingerly in that support group, because the two skills that he hadn't developed was knowing when to duck and when to hold the mirror up. And if somebody doesn't have the brain cells to recognize when you hold the mirror up that they're dealing with their own stuff, they can get pretty brutal with you. And so just be aware of that and walk carefully. You want to, you know, one of the skills, I know you've been honing that skill for a long time, is the skill of knowing how far to take people before you just back off and let them be with whatever it is that's going on, so that you get to keep your head attached.
Yes.
It kind of helps
and
if you can keep your head attached.
Well, and yes, to allow spirit, allow the God spirit to instruct.
Yes.
Truth. Well, those are the couple of things that I wanted to go over with you this morning and check in and
awesome.
Tell you about our dates that we have set, and we're moving forward.
Cool. Well, please send us a flyer, and or if you want to just send us the information, we'll make up a flyer for you and get it back to you and put it on the website. And that's fabulous that that's happening for those that are out. Where again is the support group going to be?
It's going to be in Benton City, Washington, which is just outside of the Tri-Cities, which are Kennewick and Richland and Pasco. We're just about 10 miles from there at the Vine Fellowship.
Okay, so that's your regular support group, and then the medical?
Yes, the medical one. Both of them are there. One is going to be on Tuesday night and one on Wednesday night.
Okay, and the location for the second one, the medically oriented?
513 Barth, B as in boy, A-R-T-H, in Richland, Washington.
513 Barth, and that's a medical doctor's office?
Yes.
Medical office's name is?
That is where the Mind Shifters Wellness Group will meet, and it's going to meet at the Divine Fellowship there in Richland, not Benton City. I was confused for asking me.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, send us the information. We'll get it together, and we hold the space for it to be an awesome contribution, as you always are with the people that you're working with. And we appreciate the opportunity to be on your support team and have you touching so many lives. And we certainly appreciate the support you give to us. You know, we did receive I guess you got my messages, but
yes.
A donation from you the other day that was pretty significant and much appreciated. It definitely helps to keep us keeping all the plates spinning that bring this work on to wider and wider groups of people around the planet. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are welcome, because giving and receiving happen in the same moment. So everyone
there you
is
go.
Blessed.
All right. We love you.
Thank you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Always, but hello. Okay, blessings. Bye-bye. And let me just throw out that thought. If Mind Shifters Radio is supporting you, if our website, if the materials are there, we do everything that we can do as freely as we can so it's available to everyone. And if you're in a position to and you'd like to support us, you know, when we travel, like, for instance, next week, we will be in St. Petersburg, Florida. We'll be starting on Sunday morning. We'll be doing actually two services Sunday morning at the Unity Church. And then Sunday afternoon from 1:30 to 5, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, we'll be doing a series of free workshops. I think we're going to do On Creating Consciously on Monday, Naturopath the Keys to Health on Tuesday, Healing Through Relationships, if I remember correctly, on Wednesday night, and then Thursday night, Codependence to Interdependence. I believe that's the series that we're doing. And when we travel and do that, we pay our own expenses. The workshops are free. And if you want to help us to get it to wider and wider circles, basically beyond a basic lifestyle that we live, everything that comes into this work is used to take this work wider and wider afield until we get it to every mind, heart, and being on planet Earth. And that's our commitment. And, of course, the way we're going to do that is not by going to 7.5 billion people individually. What we're working to do and why we do our work freely and why we do this show and, you know, let's open the field with the best work we've got. Why we do that is because there's an ancient principle that was spoken in the Aramaic that said a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. I don't think they were talking about bread. What they were talking about was critical mass in physics. And so basically the idea is that we deliver this to enough people that we actually get to critical mass. And when critical mass happens, that will shift the whole of humanity. And that's what we're looking to create support for on planet Earth. So, Jeannie, you've got a caller for us? Oh, well, caller from Jeannie was saying, thanks, Montana, 406 area code. If you would like to just call back in, you're just disconnected and disappeared. So we would love to chat with you and love to hear what your thoughts are. Answer any questions, provide any support that we can. 541, where are you calling from? And what's your name?
Is that me, Julie?
Oh,
hello?
Hey there, young lady. How are you, Julie?
Oh, it is. That was quick. Hey.
Cool. Hey, glad to hear.
Lots is going on. Boy, I just love listening to you.
speak on these radio programs, and I really did love Tim last week and all the guests that had dialogue with him. Really brought forth some great deepening.
Everybody who's given his feedback from the show last week with Dr. Tim was delighted with what they were able to learn from Tim, and so we certainly appreciate taking over when we travel, and he's tied up with clients today and I think Thursday, but he'll be with us the rest of the week, and his input is always valued.
So I'm having some good things and some, you know, interesting. It's all interesting. I really like what you said about vitality levels and how if our vitality is at a certain level, that's the level we can work at if we're working on an issue, even if the issue is much greater than that level.
Right.
And that's a very good point. Which DVD do you have that in? I forget
that's
which one you...
And why is this happening to me again?
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, that's where we cover in the 7-step worksheet, that's step 3, where we speak about, you know, step 2, and I'm willing to go through the symptoms of healing. And in the book, in the chapter on the website that you can go to is Healing Crisis, and that's where we talk about that process.
Okay, good. Healing Crisis, is that a title of a chapter in the book?
That's the title of a chapter, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
Basically, just to round that out a little bit for people who are new to the show, I know you know this information because you've been through the work and such, but and are doing a support group out there. Actually, are you doing two support groups now or just one?
Well, two. We're hanging together. They're kind of small right now because I've had to be in California so much lately, but
right.
It's all settle out again. Yeah.
Cool. So the whole idea of the healing process is when you start treating this body-mind unit as an energy system rather than as a physical thing, when we put an energy into the structure, it creates certain symptoms, certain effects. You know, you put rage and fear and grief in, and it hurts, and it's ouch, and it's painful. And what people tend to do is arrange their lives so that they're drugged deeply enough that they don't feel their hurt, their pain, and their grief. And when they start giving up the drugs and they start doing their work, they'll go back and start to re-experience those things, which is one of the reasons why healing isn't a very popular thing, because you got to deal with what you've put in there. You know, it's like if you put a certain kind of garbage and dirt in a house and you're going to clean the house out, it's going to be, you know, part of the process of taking it out of the house. Well, in precisely the same way, on the physical, mental, and emotional level, the symptoms of healing are identical to the symptoms of disease. And so on a physical level, healing looks like any kind of physical symptom you've ever had and low energy. On a mental level, looks like any kind of negative thought you've ever had and confusion. And on an emotional level, it's any kind of negative feeling you've ever had and depression. That's all part of the healing process. And a lot of people don't want to deal with that. I think in particular about a particular person that went into a major healing crisis at Heartland a couple of years ago. This woman was in her early 70s. And she woke up, she had done a really major piece of work in an evening session we had in an intensive. And the next morning she woke up and she had such excruciating pain in her stomach that she thought she was going to die and demanded to be taken to the hospital. It's like, well, how about just slowing down a little bit and take a breath and let's just investigate this a little bit. You did some deep work last night. Pardon me. And when you left here, you were flying higher than a kite. And yes, that's true, but I have this pain and I'm going to die. You've got to get me to a hospital. Well, let's just take a breath or two and slow down a little bit. If we need to go to a hospital, we'll do that. But in the meantime, when have you experienced this kind of pain before in your stomach? Oh, that's never happened to me. Well, wait a minute now. Let's take a breath for a minute. Really think about this. I mean, think exactly about this pain. And all of a sudden, she got these wide eyes. And when she was 7 years of age, she was from a Mormon family where there were multiple wives and dozens and dozens and dozens of kids. And she had an older sister who was from one of the older mothers. And when she came along, her sister was already married and gone and having her own dozens of kids. And this sister, she just adored. I mean, she loved her sister. She didn't get to see much of her. And all of a sudden comes flooding back when she touches into that, the memory of being about seven, and they're going to dinner at her sister's house. And this sister, she just cherishes her. And they're having dinner, and her sister's not a very good cook. The food is terrible, but she sits with a smiling face, and, you know, it's wonderful. And the whole family gets food poisoning. And this seven-year-old is the littlest one, and she is in such excruciating pain, precisely the same pain that she's experiencing now at the age of 73, 64, 65, whatever number of years later. She's experiencing precisely the same pain that she experienced as a seven-year-old sitting at the table. She said nothing. She just grinned and bared it until she passed out, and they rushed her to the hospital with food poisoning.
Wow.
As soon as she had that memory, as soon as she touched into that and breathed a little bit, her excruciating pain that she thought she was dying from was gone. I mean, the pain that was so deep and so painful for her that she thought she was actually going to die and needed to get to a hospital. As soon as she had the memory of when that energy went into her structure and was able to breathe through it and had somebody there holding the space of love for her, her physically excruciating pain disappeared instantly. That's called healing. And it's not popular because most people don't have the brain cells or the understanding and don't want to understand. You mean, in order for me to really, truly live a total, real human life and live in aliveness and vitality and joy and health without degenerative disease, you mean I've got to deal with everything in my structure? Yeah, that's it. That's what you got to do. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, okay, so then what you're saying is you want to claim your diseases, you want to keep your diseases, whether they're physical, mental, emotional, or whatever. And the willingness, you know, that's that step and step number two in the worksheet. I'm willing to go through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. The willingness is the cause of grief, and the healing process is not Dr. Feelgood.
Right. Exactly. Wow. You know, do you have another minute?
We've got about 1 minute and 50 seconds.
Well, I'm noticing how much stories are an addiction of the mind. For example, this woman could have maybe made up some story that she told herself her whole life that those kinds of pains were about. And I've been dealing with an elderly woman who has so many stories as to why this and why that and hostility and blame and just, oh, and, you know, I'm looking at why is she in my life, okay? So,
she's your opportunity.
She's my opportunity, yeah, how much I've listened to that
sort of
thing.
You said you wanted to learn to teach it, and you know something? I think it would be awesome if you had the space to call in tomorrow, and let's continue this conversation, but at this moment we've kind of got to finish it off, but I'd love to talk more about that because that's really important stuff. And we invite everyone to bring a stranger with you tomorrow to the show and have the best year yet of your eternal life. We'll have to sign off. Blessings, Julia. Hope you'll call in tomorrow. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.